Hello, world. Welcome to Discover Your Talent, Do What You Love, number 215. I'm creator and host Don Hutchison. Every day I interview someone from around the world who has discovered his talents to do work he loves to create a life of success, satisfaction, and freedom. Once a week, I interview a well-known expert in the fields of personal development, education, career life planning, and other specialties who share experiences, tools, and insights to help our listeners. And I'm delighted to bring you our featured expert today, Bill Seagraves. Welcome, Bill.
Well, thank you, Don. I'm happy to be on the show. I look forward to our discussion today.
Thank you very much. William R. Seagraves, Bill, president and founder of Catch Fire Funding of Parker, Colorado, is the author of the Penguin Random House book, Be Your Best Boss, Reinvent Yourself from Employee to Entrepreneur, released in early February. Himself a serial entrepreneur, Bill has been dubbed the mid-career entrepreneur expert and has helped more than 1,500 aspiring small business owners in mid-career on the best route to successful entrepreneurship. Bill's new book shares information about wealth building with funding and financing strategies and the best practices for building a business. Well, Bill, today's topic is really is based completely on your book, and the headline of our topic today is really that, how to reinvent yourself from employee to entrepreneur. So take the stage for just a minute and set the table for listeners about how you approach this and how you help people figure these things out.
Sure. Well, my story in a condensed form goes back about 20 years. I was a corporate refugee, and I took the opportunity to redirect the path of my career by stepping away from that engineering project management job and went into business for myself. Being a successful business owner for about 8 years here in Denver, Colorado, I was running a computer technology company. I then took one more pivot from a career perspective and redirected my interest and my focus towards helping people fund their businesses, whether it was through SBA loans or other non-traditional options. That's provided me an opportunity to have conversations and discussions with thousands of individuals that are looking to make that same type of pivot after putting in 5, 10, 15, or 20 years in a career, having the opportunity to now redirect their energies, their business, develop a little bit of control of their own destiny through business ownership. I've had that opportunity to chat with those folks.
Yeah. I'm interested in doing a deep dive into all aspects of this. To go back in the storyline, just for interest's sake and for listeners' sake, you had been in the engineering and project management field. Had that been your career for most of your adult career before you were a corporate refugee?
It had. I started in 1983. You could say I was employee number 7001 in a reasonably large defense contracting firm in California.
Wow.
Over the course of 12 years, had worked my way off in kind of an accelerated format where I had this perspective. I was about number 14 on the totem pole. There were certainly individuals more senior to me, but I had been successful in moving up. Really thought that the tools and experiences would suit me in a business ownership role, and I was looking for that control aspect of life. Mm-hmm. So I made the leap.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And all during that time, did you find the work that you were doing, did you keep growing and learning? And was it fascinating to you for your adult career until you got into this new thing?
It absolutely was. In fact, I would say that's probably my key talent, is to be able to identify opportunities, and those opportunities have interest to me to learn and adjust. And I think if people look back at my career, they would say that's the one talent I had, was to what would be the right analogy? I assimilate things.
And then
make a decision to move forward. And business ownership was just one more step. It seemed very natural to me, although people will say business ownership is not a natural decision, but I found it to be very natural.
You know, I found that, I think assimilate is a good word. I found that you've heard that old expression, you know, see the forest and the trees. And in my 42 years of experience as an entrepreneur, I've worked with some incredibly gifted people as partners and associates and clients, but I haven't found, honestly, that many people that can do both. See the trees, right? See the detail, go deep, yep. And then see the forest. It sounds like you can do both.
I think so. And I'm probably better at seeing the trees. And maybe there's a bit of luck. Maybe there's a bit of skill involved in the navigation part of it, seeing mm-hmm. the forest part of things. Mm-hmm. But being able to maneuver through the trees and then opportunities come my way and recognize those as times to go down a different path than most people would do. I see that as a benefit too.
Well, me too. Do you know what I think that comes from in my opinion? I think it comes from trusting your instincts.
Exactly. I do too.
I really do. I think that the reason people see the trees is because they can focus on it. It's logical. It's linear. And a lot of smart people out there analyzing things. But until you can pull back, trust your instincts. Because as Einstein said this, he was a pretty smart guy. He said, I never came upon one of my discoveries through the process of logical thinking.
Exactly.
So, okay. Well, anyway, enough of that digression. But I think it relates to your talent. So take us through how you work with folks and how it works. It's a fascinating thing that you do.
Let me give you a kind of the context of who I tend to attract as a potential client and somebody that I would be interested in consulting with. These are people described as mid-career entrepreneurs. Okay. They're not the 20-something person that's looking to do an app or launch. Hear them in the news all the times. People become billionaires and that type of thing. But these are individuals that have a career foundation behind them, mm-hmm. and they're now looking as a second phase of their career to go into business ownership. So the 40 to 65 year old individual is generally who I'm having conversations with. They've got advantages over that 20-something in that they do have life experiences. They do have work experiences. They've learned on the job, so to speak, on somebody else's dime, whether it's management skills or budgetary, financial related skills. They've been able to develop a bit of that thick skin in many situations that allows them to be a little bit more assertive, a little bit more successful in business ownership. And they've also had the opportunity to put some resources away from a financial perspective, whether it's personal savings or retirement dollars, home equity. And many of our conversations are really structured around not only the conversation about what's the right business, what's the right implementation strategy from a business perspective, but it also layers on how are you going to fund that opportunity. We specifically help people unlock their retirement dollars through a program called the self-directed 401k. So somebody who's been employed for 15 or 20 years may have a reasonably substantial nest egg that's tied up in their IRAs or 401ks. Traditional thinking would lead somebody to the point where they say, well, that's only for retirement. We can't access those. And if I did access it, it's going to cost me a pretty penny from a taxes and penalties perspective. Mm-hmm. And we coach people how to overcome that mindset, look at their retirement dollars as an additional resources to just layer on in the kind of our program is not the right fit for everybody, but for many people, it does become the lowest risk, lowest cost way to fund their business.
Yes, yes. And I'm sure you can do that in a way that doesn't jeopardize their future.
Exactly.
So how do you help people work through this whole show is based on a 35-year journey along understanding how people figure out who they are and what they want to get and how they go about doing it. So how do you help them? The financial side is absolutely essential, but the core piece, I mean, the most essential piece in my opinion anyway is who am I and how can I contribute? What's most fulfilling to me? How do you help them do that part?
And that's really what the book is all about, is to help people through that thought process.
Okay.
Task number one is, you could call it the readiness phase. And I would even break readiness into kind of two different contexts. You can ask yourself the question, are you prepared? And preparedness is, do you have the relevant skills to be successful? And that goes back to your management skills, your budgetary skills, your interpersonal skills, all of those types of things. And most people that have been successful in a career situation have those preparedness related parameters nailed to quite a degree.
Yes.
The other context is the readiness factor, and that probably goes back to the intuition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do you have the right mindset? Can you overcome some of the negativity that is associated with business ownership? It's the context of people will doubt you and will say you don't have any chance of being successful. It's really that, you know, the Thanksgiving family environment is probably the worst thing to bring up business ownership, the worst environment to do.
Yes, it is.
You always have an uncle or somebody who's going to put you down and say you have no opportunity to be successful. And
exactly.
People have to overcome those stereotypes.
Oh, absolutely. It's they're just projecting their own fears and insecurities.
Yep.
So, okay, so what's next? I mean, how does the process continue?
Working through that confidence building phase, I coach people that they're very likely better prepared. And I also coach them that this is not your parents and grandparent experience. Being employed in corporate America today, the longevity certainly isn't guaranteed. You really need to look at a situation where you can rewrite what you think or redefine what your retirement experience is going to be. And business ownership is a natural outcome of that.
Exactly. It's not even close to their experience. I mean,
that
generation or those generations would literally get into a company and stay for 35 or 40 years. Now, what is it? It's the average is just a handful of years at best, right?
It is. And then you move on. And in an early career, you generally have the opportunity to move on to the next best opportunity. But when you reach a certain age and a certain salary level, then you've kind of peaked out and employers are looking to backfill behind you with lower cost folks at some level. And you're really on the backside of the earnings curve.
If you're a woman, good luck. I mean, I've just been reading recently, I knew this was an issue, but now I've just been articles to come my way. And if you're a woman, the pressures and the limitations that are put on women very unwarrantedly are pretty terrible.
Absolutely.
Pretty terrible. So what's next? What's next?
Well, when people have made that commitment to at least look at businesses, we call it a discovery process because it really is a learning opportunity for folks. And maybe that learning process will end up with another job, not a business. But for many people, that learning opportunity begins to open up their eyes. We begin to assist people with funneling, so to speak. You can do a startup business. A startup from scratch is probably the lowest cost but riskiest strategy that's involved. You can go to the other end of the spectrum. You can look at existing businesses. This is where somebody's put all the blood, sweat, and tears into building an organization, building a brand awareness around some product or a service. But they've reached the point of exit in their business, and you can step into their shoes and continue to execute their business model. It's lower risk, but there tends to be a higher financial to it because you're paying for a premium of an existing business, or somewhere in the middle is really the franchise conversation where people are starting with an existing product or service, existing brand, but in most situations it's going to be a brand new business within the community that they own. One of the biggest advantages to a franchise organization is you happen to be an independent business owner, but you're part of a community of like-minded independent business owners that have, they're promoting the same products and services and doing so in a way that builds towards a bigger brand as a group.
Oh, heck, they've got the rule book. They've got the blueprints. If you look at your whole, if you look at those three options, where do the percentages lie? I mean, do people typically go more into franchise or existing or startup? I couldn't imagine people going into startup very often, but you tell me.
Well, we see a fair number of startup folks. It has to do with folks that are looking to do businesses that are closely associated with their career.
Of course.
So it could be on the simpler end. I don't want this to come across from a negative perspective, but it could be somebody that's been driving a commercial truck for somebody else for 10 or 15 years, and now they want to become independent. You can be an independent business owner and still do what you did before. In that situation, you know, you buy or lease a truck, hang up your shingle, and go into ownership yourself. So that would be one way to do a start a business. Or it could be a situation where, here's a story for you. A very recent client is actually a family. And there's a mother and a father, and then there's two sons. They all had substantial background in the orthodontic appliance industry, which mm-hmm. I guess is a fancy word for they make retainers.
Okay.
So after the parents had been in it for 30 years, the sons for about 15, 12 to 15 each, they reached a point where they decided now's the time for us as a family group to pool our resources, pool our experiences, our contacts, step away and begin a business. And at that point, they effectively have almost a ready-made market because they have the contacts within the industry. So that's a startup situation.
They had been working, the two parents and the two sons, they had been working for other people in this area, and they decided just to pool resources and do their own thing.
Exactly.
Okay. I want to make sure I got that. Well, yeah. That was beautiful. Did they have problems with non-competes and all that from the companies they work for?
I'm not aware of any issues.
Okay. I'm just curious. Yeah. Okay. And then how many people from the early group, the startups, could be just an expert in a particular area becoming a consultant, right?
They could. And consultant's kind of the entry-level business owner. In fact, I went down the consultant when I stepped away from the defense contractor. First thing I did was hang up my shingle as a consultant, and my old employer was client number one. the consultant, there's nothing wrong with going down the consultant route except for the ability to scale your business.
That's exactly right.
Once a consultant, you're always a consultant until you can morph your business and start offering a product or service that you can then scale.
Bingo. That's exactly right. Okay. So what happens then when you have an existing business that's built a franchise of sorts and a brand and whatever level that it's on from, you know, low millions to high millions? Do you find that any of your clients get together and join forces to buy somebody out? Does that ever happen in your experience?
I do have this context of business on steroids, and that is scalability through either duplication or diversification. And when I say duplication, it's where you can take your business and begin to replicate it in multiple units. So it could be a fitness center that starts with one and ends up with 3, 5, or 10. Diversification, and I think this is more like what the question that you ask, is when you begin to look at other synergistic opportunities, you can bring them on and be able to service the same client group that you're already servicing, but offering additional products or services. And many times you identify a synergistic business and acquire it and integrate it into your portfolio. It certainly mm-hmm. can happen. I do mm-hmm. see it.
Yeah. I think that's great. I'm fascinated with franchises. I was in the ad business for a long time, and we had franchisors as clients. And are there areas that are ripest for franchising? I mean, that people gravitate towards more quickly than others? Because I don't know what the marketplace is like today. What grabs people's imaginations in that space?
Well, you know, that's a great question. And at some level, I coach or counsel people to not look for something that grabs your imagination. The context is, people will begin say, I want to be into business. I think I want to do a franchise. They'll pick up one of the business magazines. They'll thumb through the top 50 or the top 500, and they'll say, oh, that catches my imagination. Mm-hmm. And then they think they're looking at very different businesses, but they may be looking at the same or three franchise concepts in the same sector.
Yes.
And I find that that's a less successful approach. I coach people that you need to look at what's going to be the experience, the day-to-day experience of the business owner or the franchise owner. And the product or service at some level is secondary to what your experience is going to be. So if you're going to be in the service sector, then what's the day in the life of a service franchise owner life going to be?
That makes total sense. You've probably helped people dodge some really dire bullets by going in plan A when plan B with the introspection is really by far the smartest.
Right. So I coach people to have a diversified discovery process.
Okay.
And diversified meaning look at some very different businesses and explore what's the day in the life of a business owner for each of those different businesses. Pick three or four. And then once you've kind of zeroed in on what aspects you like or dislike about that experience, then you can kind of go back and layer on some other businesses that may be more closely related. You can do this independently, or there's certainly individuals out there that can help you through that process, consultants in the franchise world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've had a lot of friends that are lawyers and coached lawyers and even had a law magazine at one time. And so many lawyers said, if I'd really known what a lawyer does every day, I wouldn't have become a lawyer. And that's not putting the profession down. It's a noble profession that's the backbone of our of the civilized world in so many ways. But the fact is that the day-to-day stuff that a lawyer does is not, you know, is not as romantic as the programs point out. So I think that aspect of what you do is vital. Good for you.
Yeah.
So what else? Tell us something else. We've got a few minutes here.
Part of that discovery process really has to do with size of the business.
Okay.
And I'll coach people through the context of the company of one. That's the consultant person out there. And we'll talk about the pros and cons. And being a consultant, being an independent, truly works and is suitable for certain personalities. People, that's the experience that they're looking for. But we'll then begin the conversation of once you've done the consultant, or maybe you want to short circuit the consulting deal and get into a business with a little bit more substance. We talk about being a boss of a few, cutting your teeth. Your corporate experience may have exposed you to supervision and HR issues and things along those lines. But from a business perspective, acclimating yourself to hiring and firing and choosing the right people, surrounding yourself with the talented folks, a boss of a few is the right context where you have two or three or four employees. But most people, when they really look to where they want to take their business, most businesses or many businesses, maybe not most, many businesses, people have the aspirations and dreams to build something of a little bit more substance. And that's where a business of many certainly comes in. I've had the opportunity to work through all of those phases. I started as a consultant. I bought a small computer services company and landed in the business funding sector. And today I've got 10 employees. It's a wonderful experience. I truly see my employees as a extension of my family, so to speak. And I get to play the fatherly role at some level of mentoring and helping them grow as individuals also.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Well, what would you say in summary to leave them with some thoughts to ponder?
Well, the number one takeaway is you're better than you believe. Set aside some of the negativity. Just ask yourself the questions of, you know, do I have the skills? Do I have the drive to be successful? And do I have a need to have some control over my career moving forward? And what do I really want my retirement to be? Is it get to age 55 and retire? And will you have the monies and resources to travel, visit the grandkids, see the world, whatever it's going to be, or play golf, whatever your goals are? Or is your retirement more defined around some other internal need to provide a business that also services and improves the world? I have that conversation all the time, whether it's the school teacher that now wants to start the mentoring business, or the there's all kinds of stories. They just come to me, and it's hard to choose which one to pick out. But whether you want to do a health and wellness business because that's what your passion was, help other people. People need to redefine what they want to do in that latter phases of their careers.
Well, and people we're living so much longer. That's the thing. The idea of retiring at 55 when people are living to be, you know, even the rock stars who live pretty hard lives are living into their mid-70s, and the rest of us are living into our 80s and 90s, you know?
Yep.
You can only play so much golf. So I think what you're doing is just so needed, and it sounds like you're doing it at the highest levels. Well, I can't tell you what a delight it's been talking to you today, Bill. How do our listeners connect with you? How do they contact you?
Well, my book is Certainly available in local bookstores. So I would suggest go there first, ask for it. If it's not available, ask them to order it. It's always available at all of the online bookstore resources. Yourbestboss.com is the book website. There's certainly resources available there. There's ways to order it through that website. As it relates to business consultations or funding solutions, Catchfire Funding is the name of my company, and catchfirefunding.com is the website. Lots of resources at that website also.
Well, perfect. Thank you so much. Listeners know that you can go to our homepage, our website, discoveryourtalentpodcast.com, podcast section, find the highlights of this very fine interview as well as the connecting points. So thank you, listeners, for being with us today, as always, every day. You know that we have an infographic, What Do Highly Successful People Actually Do to Succeed, 12 Proven Career Building Strategies to Help You Do What You Love. We've compiled this ebook and this infographic from the great thinkers and since the beginning of time, actually, as funny as that sounds, and have had great feedback from listeners around the world. It's free, and it's just a way to kickstart your thinking, just like in some ways the way that Bill and his team do for people looking for other opportunities. So take advantage of that. You can also subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher to our podcast. If you like interviews like this and others, please do. We'd love to have you a member of our tribe and tell us how we can serve you best because we're growing at a fast clip and are going to be offering more and more unique content. In closing, every one of us is born with unique talents and gifts. We don't learn them and we cannot ignore them. They're just a part of who we are, our DNA, if you will. Whenever we discover them and use them in our lives and careers, we do not merely survive, we thrive in every way possible. So until next time, all my best, and whatever you do, have fun out there today.